good testimony. Sister Laura, if you would, bring your group up. And I don't think there's very many of them today, but I love to hear this group. They're among my favorites. Thank you very much, girls. That was really good. Well, I certainly want to ask an interest in your prayers today. The Lord has really dealt with me on these thoughts throughout this week. And I'd like to ask you if you would like to read with me today to turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. And I would like to begin reading with verse 9. Brother Wheat this morning in the Sunday school lesson was talking about faithful people. And I want to read some scripture today about a faithful man that once lived, a man of great faith. And so we'll begin reading with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And I'd like to stop my reading there with verse 16. I want to use for a title today, we have a song that we sing from time to time that has these same words as the title of that song. And I would like to use for a title for my message today, Looking for a City. That's what we're told here in the 10th verse that I read concerning Abraham. It said, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, if we go back into the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we know that Abraham is seen basically as the, he was actually the father of many nations, but he is seen in the scriptures as the father of the Jewish nation, of the Israelites. And in the 15th chapter of Genesis, God dealt with Abraham and through a vision made it known to him that his seed was going to dwell in bondage there in Egypt for hundreds of years, and that afterwards that he was going to bring them out of that bondage with great substance, and that he was going to give to them the land that Abraham was in at that time for a possession. He was going to give that to Abraham's seed after the flesh. The promise wasn't directly to Abraham, but it was to his descendants. And we know if we go on and we study the scriptures and we go into the book of Exodus and we read about the Exodus from Egypt there towards Canaan, we know that God kept that promise as he keeps all of his promises, and he brought them out from under the Egyptian bondage with great substance, just like he had said that he would, and he began to lead them and guide them towards the land that he had promised them, the land of Canaan. But now, when the Bible tells us here that in the 10th verse of Hebrews chapter 11, when it says that Abraham looked for a city, I don't believe that he was talking about the natural land of Canaan. I believe that the writer here was telling us that Abraham was looking for something eternal, looking for a heavenly city. And if we go on and we read the last couple of verses that I read, it says in verse 16, it says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I believe that the Hebrew writer here, as he spoke about Abraham looking for a city, as he spoke about there in verse 16 about them desiring a better country, that he was having reference to the same thing that the Apostle Paul was speaking about in that we find recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, we that are, excuse me, let me turn there and read that. I don't want to misquote that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He was talking about an eternal dwelling place. If we go back to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where I read, it said he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In that verse, and also in that first verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says that we have a house not made with hands, both of these in reference to the fact that this place was prepared without the instrumentation of human hands. It was built by God. And God has prepared for His people a place of eternal habitation, a place of eternal dwelling. It's called heaven. It's sometimes called glory. We probably are all familiar with the song, some call it heaven, I call it home. And for those of us who have been saved by God's grace, that's what it is. It's home. And so I wonder today if your thoughts, the thoughts of your heart and your mind today are fixed on that, are fixed on the place where we have, where we will be able to dwell eternally in the presence of God. You know, it doesn't take a scholar, it doesn't take someone with a mastermind to figure out that something eternal can be much better than something that is temporary. For those, unfortunately, for those who fail to get right with God, for those who fail to be saved, the eternal will be worse for them than what is here and now. But for those who have come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, we have something to look to. We have something to look forward to with great anticipation because we have something that's eternal. And today, as I stand before you, I'm going to tell you that it's my great joy. That's what gives me such joy in my heart and such happiness in my heart, because I know that I have something that is going to last forever. The things that we have here, and you know, sometimes we, as God's people, sometimes we, I'm afraid, get a little bit too attached to things that are just temporary. Now, I believe that life is a wonderful thing. I believe that our earthly life is a wonderful thing. We ought to count life as something very precious because God gave it to us. If you are living today, you are living today because God created you and is allowing you to live. And I thank God for my life, and I enjoy my life. I have enjoyed in this living in this world. I'm thankful that God has allowed me to exist. And I've been thankful many times in this world to look. You know, I like to look more at the things that I know the hand of God created than what man created. I remember my wife and I one time, it was on our 25th anniversary, and we went to Asheville, North Carolina. And it was in the fall, and the leaves were turning, and it was just beautiful, and there were beautiful mountains there. And we were talking one day, and my wife said, well, what should we do? Should we go to the mountains, or should we go see this, is it Biltmore? Biltmore House? And I said, honey, that is just a house. Let's go look at what God made. That's the way I feel about things. I would much rather see something that depicts the great hand of God in creating something than I would to see something that man has built. No doubt man has built some things that are gorgeous and no doubt appealing to the eye, but they were built by man, weren't they? And there's things in this world, many things in this world that have been built by man, and every one of them is going to be destroyed. Man has never picked up a tool yet and laid his hand to the labor of anything. Man has not yet, and nor will he ever construct anything that will stand for eternity. Everything that we do with our hands will fall. It'll perish, and it'll be gone. I thank God for my family that I have here. I love to be able to spend time with them. I thank God for the friends that I have in this life. I thank God for my church family and the fellowship that we have here on the earth. But I am always aware of the fact, always mindful of the fact that everything that I experience here on earth is but temporary. And not only is it just temporary, but it only lasts for a very short time at that. The Bible tells us, and you know, we need to face reality, and we need to face the truth according to God's Word, and certainly for those of us that are saved, when we really, you know, when we set our affections on places where we should, on the place where we should, when we think about things that we should think about, when we do what we are instructed to do under the writings of the Apostle Paul that we find in the third chapter of Colossians, he said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." And so, when we really begin to think about it, when we really begin to consider the reality, and I believe that we can get so caught up from time to time in our everyday life that these things slip from our mind, and we don't focus on them and think about them the way that we should. But when we really begin to consider the truth about our life here, we are well aware of the fact that we are just passing through. We're just passing through. I wonder today, when was the last time? I believe that what we're reading about here is something that was very genuine and something that was very heartfelt. And I want you to ask yourself the question in your own mind. When was the last time that you came to the realization of what I'm talking about today, and you confessed genuinely, you confessed in your heart, you confessed the great truth, "I am but a stranger and a pilgrim here on this earth. Though I may love and enjoy the things that are around me, though I may enjoy my family and my friends and that type of fellowship, yet I realize that this is only a fleeting thing. I realize that it will soon be over. I realize what the Scriptures tell me about the truth concerning my earthly life, that it is but a vapor." It's just a vapor, folks. It just appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You know, I thought about Methuselah. And I don't know what it was like in the day that he lived. Methuselah lived on the earth for 969 years. Can you imagine such a thing? I really can't. I don't think we can really fathom such a thing. We don't live nearly that long anymore. 969 years. But I believe that from some of the examples that I find in the Scriptures, if we could have actually spoken to Methuselah, I believe that even after living on the earth for 969 years, that he would have said, "My life on the earth has gone by quickly." It's gone by quickly. Can you imagine And like I said, I don't know what it was really like at that time when people were living that long, but I know what it's like for us, and I know that no doubt you have heard this all your life, and as you get older, you experience it. I remember back when I was just a very young boy, I remember older people telling me that the older they got, the quicker that it seemed to go, the quicker that a year seemed to go by. And could you imagine after being on the earth for 969 years, could you imagine by that 800 or 900th year how quick a year must have seemed to Methuselah? Well, we do have an account of a man that lived, I believe it was 130 years, Jacob. And that's exactly what he said when he stood before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asked Jacob how old that he was. He said, the days of the years of my pilgrimage have been 130 years. And he said, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. So we do have the confession of a man that had lived well over 100 years on the earth. And he said, my days on the earth have been few. Folks, I'm telling you that none of us are here for very long. This life is quick. From the cradle to the grave, it goes by like a vapor that rises and it's gone. That's what it is. It is a vapor. But aren't you glad that there's something eternal? I'm going to tell you today, I'm looking for that city. I'm looking for that city. The one that Abraham looked for, the one that the Hebrew writer told us about. Sometimes, as I've already said, sometimes the reality of that slips from our mind. But that's where home really is, isn't it? All of us here today, thank God we have places to dwell. Thank God that we have been blessed in that way. We have houses that we live in. And, you know, when we leave here today, if we were to talk to each other and say, where are you headed? No doubt we would use the term, well, we're going to go home for a while. Just going to go home and maybe kick back and rest a little bit this afternoon. Maybe get ready to come back to worship service here again tonight. We use that term in that way. But folks, listen, we realize and we know deep down in our heart that that's not really home, is it? That's a temporary dwelling place. That's something that God has provided for us and blessed us with here to take care of us while we live our short life here on the earth. But home is the place where these people were looking at when they made the confession that they were strangers and that they were pilgrims on the earth. You think about that city. I have seen things in this life. We have all experienced things in this life that we wish that we would have never had to go through. We have trouble here, don't we? We have heartaches here. I have seen in the time that I have pastored the church here at Fairview Memorial, I have seen your tears. I've seen times when you were heartbroken. I've seen times when you were troubled. Seen times when things were perplexing you that were beyond your control to do anything about them. And have seen death happen. Death continues to invade the ranks of the human family, doesn't it? It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, and it brings heartache to those who are left behind. It brings sorrow to us when we have to bid farewell, just like in the card that I read this morning. It brings sadness to our hearts when we have lived with someone here on the earth and have had sweet relationship and communion and fellowship with those people, and then we have to say goodbye. And that has been taking place ever since man reached forth his hand and disobeyed God. Death has been among the human family. But I can tell you about a place that I read about in the scriptures where it says it won't be there anymore. I can tell you about a place in the scriptures, and I'm going to read some verses here in a moment. I can tell you about a place that the scriptures talk about where there won't be any such thing as sad tears. There won't be any such thing as pain. There won't be any such thing as sorrow. Now that's tough, isn't it? That's tough for our minds to comprehend. It is hard. In fact, in my mind, I'm not sure that I really can comprehend such a thing as a place where there's no such thing as sorrow, because I've known it all my life. I've known things. I mean, when I was a little boy, there were things that made me sorrowful. Certainly as I grew, there were things that made me sorrowful. And that's something, sorrow, pain, crying about things has been with me and with you and has been present and has afflicted us all of our lives. But the Bible tells us about a place that God has prepared. You know, Jesus, I love to read the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Don't let your heart be troubled. Friend, listen today. If you've been saved by the grace of God, don't let your heart be troubled. There's nothing to be troubled about. David spoke about God in this life and in the life to come. And he said, "Thou wilt guide me by thy counsel and afterward receive me into glory." God will be with us while we're here. God will guide us and direct our steps while we're here. When it comes time to die, He'll come and receive us into our true home. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And those are the words of Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Let me ask you something today, my beloved brothers and sisters. Do you believe that the Lord is coming to get us? He's going to come and get us. He said, if I go away, I'll come. And He will. I'll come. And I'll receive you unto myself. And the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul wrote about it, and he told us how that will be. Listen, there's going to come a day, one of these days. You and I may not be living, but we'll experience it just the same. There's going to come a day when the last trumpet is going to sound loud. Jesus is going to come with the trumpet and with the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ, the Bible says, shall rise first. We're not going to precede those. Those who are living at that time are not going to precede those who are already asleep in the Lord. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I mean, that may be hard for us to imagine right now. All of us may be sleeping in the ground when that time comes. We may have already died, but I'm telling you what, friends, listen to this. It's going to happen. It's a reality. Those of us that meet here from week to week, those of us who have been saved by God's grace, and we enjoy that great kindred spirit with one another, one of these days, we're going to be caught up in the clouds together. We're going to fly together. We're going to take a flight together. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. I don't believe the Lord will ever set foot on this sin-cursed earth again. I don't believe it'll happen. He did it once. He came here and he died for our sins. And after his resurrection and after he commissioned his church and after he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, the Bible tells us that a cloud received him out of their sight, and they were assured that he's coming again in like manner as they saw him go, and he's going to come. Jesus said, I'll be back. Those that he spoke that directly to, when he said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, they're already gone. They've been gone from the earth for years and years, but they're going to experience the fulfilling of his promise that he will come and receive them unto himself. They're already with him. They're already with him. And they'll experience that great resurrection one day when he comes to be glorified in all of his saints. There's a better place to go. I'm glad that I have something that is eternal. I want to read some scripture to you that speaks about that. And I know that anything that I read today or anything that I say today, we just don't really yet imagine what it's really going to be like. Revelation chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Listen, if there's anything that's ever made you cry in this life, if there's anything that's ever caused you pain in this life, if there's anything that's ever brought you sorrow in this life, if you've ever experienced looking at death in this life, listen to this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Looking for a city. Looking for that eternal home. I believe, I'm convinced with all of my heart that right now there's a place where those who were saved that have left us, they're gathered there, and when we get there, we'll see them again. I'm convinced that there's a place right now where the Lord Jesus is dwelling, and when we get there, we'll see him there. That's a reality. That will take place. That will happen for the people of God. Now, here's the main thing that I wanted to say today. For those of you who are lost, you're not going there. You're not going there. Because God has prepared a place for a prepared people. Only those who have been saved can go to heaven. In your lost condition, you're not going there. If you want to go to heaven when this life is over, you're going to have to seek the Lord and you're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to be saved by His grace. Otherwise, you're going to dwell eternally in hell. You're going to dwell eternally with the beast and the false prophet and with the devil himself. You're going to dwell in a place where all of those dwell for eternity that forgot God, that didn't seek the Lord, and that weren't saved, you're going to dwell in the everlasting burnings of that place and the torment of that place forever and forever. And as sad as that is, and as sad as the thought of people being in eternal torment and eternal punishment, that's not all there is to it, because not only are you going to experience the torments of that place, but you're also going to miss this beautiful place that God has prepared. I'll tell you what, friends, I guarantee you there's, it seems like we got a lot of people here at church that like to take off and travel. And no doubt among the people that are here, no doubt you've seen a lot of pretty sights in this world, but I guarantee you, you've never seen anything like heaven. There have been people that in my life, that have told me, I feel, they'd ask me if I'd been someplace and seen something, and I'd say no, and they'd be like, oh my gosh, you almost like they felt sorry for me. Oh my gosh, you ought to see that. I mean, I can't believe you haven't seen that. You ought to go see that. You know what? If I never see it, that'll be okay. I'm gonna see heaven one of these days. I'm gonna see something that'll far surpass anything that I've ever seen here on the earth anyway. And when I get into heaven, and when I behold the Lord there in all of His glory and all of His splendor, and know that I'm there for eternity, I won't be worried about anything that I might have missed seeing here on this sin-cursed earth. I'm glad I'm going to heaven today, folks. I'm glad I'm on my way to a better place. I'm glad that I have a city where I can dwell one day for eternity. I'm sorry for those of you who don't have that hope today, and I want you to have it, and the Lord wants to give it to you. Sinner, let me tell you something today. Whatever you do in this life, don't miss heaven. Don't miss heaven. If you miss heaven, you've missed it all. If you don't, when you leave this world, if you're not going home to that beautiful place to be with God, it would have been better if you would have never lived in the first place. It would have been better if you would have never had an existence than to die and leave the world unprepared for heaven. Don't miss it. Folks, I wouldn't miss it for the world. I'm glad that I'm going to see God's heaven, and I know the reality of it is that I'm going to see it here very soon. Very soon. If you're saved today, if you're a young Christian, if you're saved, if you live on this earth another 70 years, same scenario, you're going to see heaven soon, because we're just not here very long, are we, Brother Wheat? We're just not here on the earth for very long. You only have just such a small window of opportunity to be saved. You better take advantage of what the Lord is giving you. Don't miss heaven. If you do, you've missed it all. You've missed it all. Let's have a song.